for our congregation. And to do that, we are honoring our commitment today. And I'd like to invite Ms. Sharon Wilson to the front up here in the middle, and Pastor Gray, if you and Shelly would stand with her so she doesn't have to stand there by herself. And let's welcome to the platform Ms. Nancy Roberts, and she is going to tell us about our parish nurse program.
Good morning. Thank you very much for inviting me to be a part of your beautiful church and beautiful ministries. I'm very excited to welcome Sharon Wilson, RN, parish nurse, to be a part of your church family. Now you have a nurse in your family. Lee Health is has a parish nurse program for the past 20 years. And we now Sharon is a part of it, and I will be a mentor for her. She will need your help in reaching all of the needs of your congregation. She asks for your prayers, and just know that I will walk this path with her, and she will need help along the way. She has the support of her ministry, leadership, and is asking for your support. Sharon works full-time at Lee Health, but she will be a part-time parish nurse here at your congregation. More information will come. She will put it in your bulletins. And church leadership will praise you of how this is going to happen. But I'm very excited for your church and for each one of you to have a nurse in your family that will advocate for you and help you, pray with you, visit with you, and be that that person that you can rely on. Thank you.
Now, Ms. Sharon, you don't get off that easy. If I could get our representative council to come forward, those that represent our second service. When God empowers you and gives you an assignment that is bigger than you are, we need the prayer and the support and the anointing that goes along with that. So we want to stop everything today for just a few moments, and let's pray for Sharon in this. Can you imagine now taking on the responsibility? We don't know, you know, we quit counting people a long time ago. We just know the place is full. Because I had a pride issue and I can't know how many people are here, or I think that I'm doing something great. It's God that's doing something great. But can you imagine being a responsible to pick up the phone and answer some questions about medical issues for a group of people this large? It's bigger than she is. So let's pray. Father, today, as we make a commitment, as we have been walking this walk in 2018, of fellowshipping with a community of believers, that we are going to walk together. Father, part of that responsibility is taking on the task of helping each other in times of need. So, Father, when we have medical issues, you've blessed us with doctors and nurses that are going to help. And Miss Sharon is going to represent that here at City Gate. And so, Father, I ask you for an anointing that is bigger than she is. That when the phone rings, that, Father, it's not just to answer a medical question, but, Father, it's to be your hands extended, to be your voice of hope. And that, Father, that she could pray believing in miracles. That, Father, when we exhaust the capabilities of our technology and our knowledge, that, Father, we can still speak the hope that we believe a God that can do miracles. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give Ms. Sharon a hand for this courageous step of faith. Now I'm going to ask very quickly if our ushers and greeters video you had picture. Amen. And by the way, that's one of our representative council members, Steve Reed. I'm not going to tell you his age, but it's older than me. And he is a superhero. He goes on all these missions trips to the middle of nowhere. He preaches. He's in the nursery on Sundays a lot of the times. He serves in children's ministry. He'll open doors. He'll take up offerings. He'll even pray on the prayer team. And I'm just telling you, a lot of times we think that things like hunger, it's for those countries that are way over there. But I want to tell you, in one of those, if you saw the whole video, there was a kid eating a bowl of cereal. And sometimes hunger is right here. And especially in the summertime when school isn't in and the kids haven't been provided the breakfast or the lunch that normally is associated with them going to school. But because of CityGate, we make sure that things like hunger right around the corner is not necessarily something that we're going to tolerate, and we do our best. So thank you for giving. It's not just for Atlanta, it's for our local community and around the world. So thank you for your generosity. And I don't know who put the song on the video, but Michelle was over there going, "Sing it, Willie." You know, and I'm like, I don't know if that's supposed to go. But before I preach, and if you're a guest with us, I'm not a long-winded preacher. And my wife bought me this new watch for my 50th birthday. And so it's a smoking hot watch. It's why I wore short sleeves so you could see it and I can keep track of time. But before I preach, I have one more thing to do. And I am going to call at this time. Let me just give you the background. This couple has been serving our church for the last 23 years. They have been here early, almost every Sunday. They take care of me personally, make sure I've got cough drops and water and all of the stuff that's necessary. They unlock doors. They're here constantly. But unfortunately, this is their last Sunday, they believe, because they are moving to Georgia. I don't know where they heard the voice of the Lord to move to Georgia, but they have confirmed that they have heard the voice of the Lord. So this is one of our last opportunities until they come back to visit to say thank you to Gladys and Juan McCardo for all 23 years of service. So would they come forward? Amen. While you're standing, that is appropriate. Let's pray for Juan and Gladys. Father, thank you for wonderful servants that have reflected who you truly are. And that, Father, that they have been an unbelievable help to this ministry. And I don't know how we would have made it without them. But, Father, you've got a new assignment ahead of them, that they're moving to Georgia. And we ask that their family be blessed as they travel. We ask that the church that they get accompanied with there will understand the benefit of who they have in their congregation, because they truly are going to be your hands extended. I ask that, Father, as they return, that they would always have this place in their mind and in their heart of home, and that includes CityGate. And I give you praise and honor for all that they've been able to accomplish on your behalf, and now anoint them to do things even greater as they move into this next chapter. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Again, 23 years of service. I couldn't have done it without you. I couldn't have done it without you. Love you. Amen. Now, a couple of weeks ago, you can be seated. And if you got Bibles, you can turn them to Exodus chapter 3. A couple of weeks ago, I started a Vision Sunday by asking and giving an invitation for us to go on a walk together. Going on a walk together meant that we were going to walk in 2018 through the good times and the bad times. We were going to see God and believe that God was going to do something supernatural and great. And last week, Pastor Alex and Amy, they did such a great job communicating. I listened to their sermon, and you know, it is such a blessing and a relief that you know that when you are away, that with David leading us in worship and Pastor Alex and Amy coming behind with the word, it was just incredible. It isn't that they did it as good as I can do it. They did it better than I could do it. So let's give them a hand of appreciation as well. But one of their main points last week was, what are you building your life around? You know, and Amy talked about most people build their lives in an egocentric model where they are the center of everything. And they build their life around everything that is pointing back towards them and their dreams. And there's nothing wrong with having dreams, and it's nothing wrong with having desires to move forward. But then she gave an alternative opportunity to build your life in a theocentric model, which means that God is the center of everything. And that you are a reflection of who He is. And that you are pointing everybody, not to yourself, but you are pointing to everybody through your life that you live and the generosity that you have and the smiles that you smile and the personality that you've been developing. It reflects the character and the model of God. And that you become His hands extended to the world. And so they offered this opportunity. And in that vision sermon, I ask you to go on this journey with me. And I said, the first place we're going to stop is a God encounter. See, we truly need a God encounter. There is things that God has in front of us in 2018. Some of you individually, some of you personally. Your families are going to walk on the mountaintops. You're going to walk through the valleys. There's highs and lows. There's good times and bad. And we want to walk together. But to accomplish God's purpose, we need a God encounter that changes everything. And if you'll just trust me this morning for the sake of time, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 is about a man named Moses. And he is going to come to a most significant moment in his life. Now, how many of you are in my age category and you remember when I say the word Moses, you remember Charlton Heston with stone tablets and he's talking to that bush. Remember? Can somebody say amen? For everybody under the age of 100, they're going, I don't know what he's talking about. Who's Charlton Heston? He played Moses. But he had this burning bush moment. And before I get you to the burning bush, let me give you a little history. By the time you get to this burning bush, he's 80. I'm going to say that again. He's 80. See, we know the Sunday school story about Moses and the faith of his mother, that he's born in a time where Pharaoh is beginning to fear the strength of the slaves, the Israelites, and he has made a decree that is now law that says that any child under the age of 2 needs to be killed. Moses falls into that category and he's born during that dangerous time. And his mother realizes as he begins to grow up and he begins to get older, she can't hide him anymore in the house. So all of a sudden she decides to, by faith, build a basket. And she makes that basket waterproof. And she puts that in positions and strategically puts that basket in the Nile River, which is full of crocodiles, by the way. And she positions his sister Miriam to watch over the basket. But God has a way of sometimes taking things that seem to be so messed up in our lives and make them work for His good. Can you imagine what it must have been like? Because we know the end of the story, so we know that there was a blessing down the river, because simultaneously as the daughter of Pharaoh begins to prepare for a bath, she's going to walk out into the Nile River, the basket begins to move. Now, can you imagine his sister thinking, oh my goodness, how can I stop this? All of a sudden, this current just takes the basket and it pushes it out. This probably wasn't the first day that he was ever in the basket. But this day was different. And the basket starts to float down the river, and she's probably going down the bank trying to figure out, how can I get out there to save Moses? But sometimes we don't need to be the one rescuing when we've seen that thinks that when our life sometimes look like it's going in the current of life and it's spinning out of control. Sometimes when it goes past your control, it's always in the hand of God and He's in full control. Because this basket happens to come, the current's just right. Imagine that. The current's just right to put it right in the lap of the daughter of Pharaoh. And she opens up the basket and immediately falls in love. And she asks, now, it's law by the Pharaoh that every Israelite child under the age of 2 be put to death. But how many of you know? How many of you are daughters and you have a dad? Say amen. Amen. And sometimes daughters can do things and say things just the right way to alter dad's opinion. Amen? And she goes to daddy and says, hey, I want you to bend the rules for me. I want to keep the baby. And he says, okay. And for the next 40 years, Moses grows up in the palace of Egypt as the prince of Egypt. And he thinks that as he's growing up, he becomes identified with the people that are working, building bricks. He knows that he's supposed to be a part of them, but he is encountering this identity crisis because he is considered to be a prince of Egypt, but yet he knows he has roots with the slaves. He goes on evening walks. See, he thinks that he's going to be the deliverer. He's going to make things better for them while he's in the palace. Because he has unlimited... Can you imagine? He has unlimited... He's got the best clothes. He's got unlimited education and the best education. And unlimited resource. The most powerful man in the known world is his granddad. But yet his heart keeps moving towards those that are considered to be Israelites. He goes for a walk. One evening, probably like many times before, he sees a conflict between an Egyptian taskmaster and an Israelite slave. And he starts to get involved, and that conflict escalates. And all of a sudden, he's got into a fight with an Egyptian, and he's killed him. Now he's on the run. Now he's a man that's wanted. Now there's a price on his head. He runs into the wilderness, and as he runs into the wilderness, he ends up in this place called Midian. And Midian literally is translated strife. Have you ever been in a part of your life and you tried and you thought to yourself, I know I have, you thought to yourself, why do I have to stink and fight for everything? Why isn't anything easy? That's what it meant to live in Midian. This dude isn't there 15 minutes and he sees seven ladies trying to take care of sheep and they are getting bullied at a well by the other shepherds. And again, he intervenes. He has intervened now to where he has provided water for these ladies and their sheep. And all of a sudden, the priest of Midian, Jethro, their father, hears about it, invites Moses into his house, and there he becomes the son-in-law of Jethro. And for the next 40 years, he walks the same path, the same way, caring for a handful of sheep that aren't even his own. You talking about a man, if you could say, this is why I'm preaching the history, so I could get to the point before too long, is that if there is a person that has ever made mistakes and thought that they went too far away from their divine destiny to ever be used by God, if you've ever made the wrong decision and done the wrong thing, you can identify with Moses, but get this, you are only one God encounter from him redirecting your life back to the path he has destined for you. You can't do too much that he can't fix. You can't run too far where his arm cannot reach you. This dude has been removed from his destiny from 80 years, and one bush and one fire puts him back in line. You can't do too much that God, one God encounter, can't change everything. And so here's the story, the real life story, not the Bible story you heard in Sunday school because they've left some parts out. Moses is just broken. He's a man that knows I've lost the best years of my life, and now I've got a job that bugs the life out of me. All I've got to do all day is hold a stick, guard a few sheep that aren't even mine, by the way. He's not even a good businessman. He don't even own the sheep. And I'm going to walk the same way, the same style, the same... I'm going to do the same thing over and over and over again until I die. But then all of a sudden, he's walking down this path. He's walked all of this time in Midian. He's on Mount Horeb in the mountain range of Sinai. And over to the side is a bush on fire. Now, let me clarify. Bushes on fire in this region of the world is not something special. They burst into flames all the time. But there's a difference about this bush burning. It's not being burned up. So there's a fire going, but there's nothing happening to the bush. It's staying still green. It's still doing what it needs to do. It's surviving the fire. And Moses sees it and has a decision. See, when you want a God encounter, some people say, well, how do I have a God encounter? The first thing you have to do is start looking for one. Because sometimes God just doesn't strike you with lightning. Wouldn't you like for him just to, you know, just strike you, you know, and that you know it's him, and then he'll tell you what he wants you to do, and then you wake up? Wouldn't that be wonderful? He doesn't do it that way. Most of the time, he takes your natural, ordinary life, and he shows up somewhere close to it to see if you're willing to do something different, to have something you've never had. Now, the bush doesn't talk yet. It's just over there burning up. And the Bible literally says he makes a decision to get off of the path that he's always on and go investigate. How many of us, to have a God encounter, are willing to quit doing what you've done all those days over and over and over again? And when God shows up and he's over there, would you be willing to go over where he is? Or this is how, for those of you that maybe this is the first time in church, and you're always used to church people acting like they're perfect. We're not. You know, that's what makes people call us hypocrites. We're not perfect. We mess up just like you. We just have grace and a redemptive factor working in our life called Jesus. He's the Son of God that paid for it. I don't have to be perfect. He was. Amen? Amen? So all of a sudden, he sees this thing, this bush burning, and he decides, I'm going to go over there and check that out. Now, the modern church, this is what we would do. We would stop everything right what we're doing, and we would pray right then. We would kneel down. We'd probably get real solemn. Or if we're charismatic or Pentecostal, we'd get real loud. And we would say, God, we just want you. Come to where I am. And he's like, I'm standing in a bush right over here waiting for you to come to me. How many of us are so enamored with begging God to get where we are when he gives us invitations to come where he is? And where he is a much better place than where we are. Can somebody say amen? And the moment he decides to get off of his normal path and go towards the burning bush, the bush starts talking. First step, he starts to talk. God, boom, right out of the bush. And this isn't, you know, it's not general and generic. It isn't like, oh brother shepherd that saw this bush burning, come forward. Like the Wizard of Oz. No. He says, calls him by name. Moses, Moses. See, God knows right where you are and how far you've gotten away from your divine destiny and the purposes that he's aligned for your life. And when you decide that it's time to get back in the order in which he's committed you to, he will start calling you by name too. And he said, Moses, Moses, I hadn't forgot you when you lost the palace. Moses, when you were on the run and thought you were doomed to walk around a mountain following a few sheep, I know who you are, and I've showed up to give you an opportunity to get back on track. Moses, Moses. And he starts to, can you imagine? First of all, what would it be like, you know, Ron, for you just to be driving to work and you just, you know, you're going in the office and the desk is on fire. And God say, Ron. You'd go, come on, Patty, where are you at? I know that's you somewhere. As you're backing up towards the door, like, just in case, I don't know. No, God starts to speak to him, and he recognizes the voice of God. And he immediately wants to go to have this God encounter. And God says, hold on, hold on. Before you go, take off your shoes. Now, I've tried my best to stay on this platform for a number of years, so everybody, you know, because when I go down, but I really got to go down to preach this one, you know, because I want to ask you something. This is the most important part of the message. You're here, I'm here, and that's really important, you know, because the Bible says where two or three of us are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. So if all we've done is if we ever come to a place, Ralph, and you're there and I'm there, we can have good fellowship. you know, we can even have good times. We even go on trips together and stuff. We can see things together. But if we ever get to where you are and I am and God is, it's different. And the Bible says that He's here. It's more than a service. It's more than three songs that we sing. It's more than an opportunity to pray. It's more than, at the end, pastor's going to call people forward. It's more than a sermon. It's an absolute opportunity for you to fellowship face to face with an almighty God. A God encounter.
Amen.
That could change everything. Do you realize that He is standing? He is in this place. And there's not a single need that is bigger than Him. And it's just waiting for an opportunity. But let me ask you something. To take this pastor service into a God encounter, what are you willing to take off to go fellowship with Him? Because you can't do it casually. Casually, He was just going to come up there. He said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I like you and all, but where I'm standing is different than where you're standing. Because where you're standing is just normal. And where I'm standing is holy, because I'm here. Now, before I get sidetracked, and many of you will think, well, pastor, I could never go into the presence of God. I'm not good enough. Have you ever noticed that God takes natural things and wraps His supernatural nature around it? What was special about this bush that was different than any other bush? Nothing other than the fire that was God. So God took a natural bush and wrapped His supernatural character around that bush and was ready to commission a man to go do his destiny. Amen? But that's not the first time. Remember that little kid in the New Testament that brought a little bag lunch? That bag lunch was natural. Just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. It was just a natural lunch that one kid said, here, you can use this. And God wrapped His supernatural nature around a natural lunch and fed 5,000 men. How about that storm? Regular storm, natural occurrence. It had wind, it had rain, it had thunder, it had lightning. It produced waves on the Sea of Galilee. Natural storm, and all of a sudden Jesus' supernatural nature takes those storm-caused waves and makes stepping stones for Him and walks on water to His disciples. Then the Bible says, forget ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He takes your natural flaws, your natural character, and wraps His supernatural character around you. That way you don't have to be perfect, but you can still be used. See, a God encounter doesn't require your perfection. He was perfect for you. But how many of us are willing when He says, oh, wait a minute now, you coming up here in My presence, and you can't just casually walk up here. You ain't meeting your friend. You meeting Me. Take your shoes off. Get humble, because your humility will open up the door for Me to use My sovereignty to take your efforts and enable and empower those efforts, and you can be a deliverer to a nation of slaves that I'm hearing their cry. Wonder what God wants to do with you. Amy, get ready to play me something. Because here's the cool part about this whole thing. Is God in this scripture? And I read it all in first service. It tells you, I'm going to give you the land that's flowing with milk and honey. The Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, every other bite. I'm going to give you that. And you're going to come back here with all of those people. But you got to go back and face some things. You're going to go back to the person that's wanting to kill you. And I'm going to keep you safe. You're going to have faith to believe I can protect you. Here's the cool part about a God encounter. He never talks other than in God language. So when he's talking like God, and you're thinking, how can I do this because it's bigger than me? Just think about it. He's out of a bush telling him, okay, man, I know you're a shepherd with a few sheep, and I know you're wanted and they're going to try to kill you. But I want you to go back, talk to Pharaoh, tell them this, I've sent you. And then after you tell him I've sent you, I want you to tell him, let my people go. Because we're here to deliver. And he throws up his hands and he goes, I can't do this. Because Moses made a mistake at first. he thought God was going to stay in the bush. He thought that he was going to have to go on an assignment for God of the bush, go to Egypt, and then bring them back to the bush on the mountain where they would worship. And God said, oh, you misunderstood, man. I'm going to go with you. Verse 12, don't be afraid, I will be with you. No matter where God's assignment is for your family, maybe it's to that unsaved part of your family, don't worry about going by yourself. He's going to go with you. Maybe it's to a community. Maybe it's to a neighborhood. Maybe it's to the world. Maybe it's an assignment that is much bigger than you. Do not worry, because one God encounter can not only prepare you and enable you, but he will give you the authority to go, and then he will go with you. Before we pray today, before we invite people up here to the front for a God encounter, let's just think about what's been said. So close your eyes for a few moments and let's dance. To have a God encounter, the first thing you have to do is believe that he's here. Oh, it might be easier if that pulpit busts into flames. But what we have that Moses didn't have was the word of God that says, where two or three of us are gathered, there he is, and he cannot lie. And I believe in just a few moments, I believe people are going to get saved. I think they're going to start their faith walk today. But before we start concentrating on maybe our own needs or our own lives, I'm going to invite my wife up. On that Vision Sunday, I stopped everything and we prayed for Trina Law to be healed of cancer. My wife is going there tomorrow. Her husband Donovan called and said, will you bring a prayer cloth from City Gate? See, these prayer cloths have a reputation. They're not magic. We anoint them with oil that smells good. And we believe that when we pray, that God can do even the impossible. So when that person receives a prayer cloth, that we've prayed for that impossible thing to be possible, and they smell the smell of that oil, it gives them encouragement and hope, because they know they're not in the fight alone, that there's a church praying for them, and they know that there's a God that can heal them. So would you join Michelle and I as we pray? Father, right now as we pray for Trina Law, and just like we did a couple of weeks ago, we remain steadfast in praying for her divine healing. Father, it looks like it's going to require a miracle, but you are a miracle-working God. If you can take an 80-year-old man and speak to him out of a burning bush and put him back in line with his destiny, to stand before the man that he was running from and say, I'm here on behalf of God to say he has heard the cries of the oppressed and let his people go. Father, I believe that we can stand in the authority of that God, and that we can exercise the name of Jesus and say, by the name of Jesus, we declare healing. That, Father, when this cloth arrives tomorrow in North Carolina, you remind Trina that it's not in the cloth that she receives her healing. You were already in North Carolina. At the same time, you were here as we prayed. You are everywhere. And so, Father, go with her as she travels. And let this be the fragrance of hope. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to ask for our ministry team if they would move very quickly this morning. Would you stand to your feet? It's easier for people to move when you are standing. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. I don't know what got you in this place today. Maybe you're here for the very first time and you expected a church service. My friend, if that is you, don't get satisfied with the songs we sing. And don't get enamored by the preaching a bow to God from a man standing behind a wooden desk. But take advantage of the opportunity to meet the God that we sing about and that we preach about. He's not a story. He's a God that can be experienced. And so right now, you say, Pastor, I don't even know how I got here. This is the first time I've ever been in this place. You're here for a reason. Moses stepped out and went to a bush. You may have to step out from where you are and move forward. But before that happens, I want everybody to bow their head and close their eyes. Father, right now, you touch the hearts of the people that you have been ministering to, and you've positioned their life. It's just going to take one God encounter to get them back on track. One God encounter that's going to solve a lot of the issues going on in their life, where they meet you face to face, where you go past the storybooks and you go past the songs, but you literally are a God that can be tangibly touched, and you're going to meet with them and fellowship with them right here. If there's a person here today with nobody looking around that says, Pastor, I want to meet that God that you've sung about, you've preached about. Is he really here? Yes, he is. And he'll take away your sins and he'll remove your guilt and your shame. It doesn't matter how much you've done or where you've been or who you've done it with. God's bigger. I'm a living testimony of that. So nobody's looking around. It's just me and you. The eyes of an almighty God. If you want to get saved today and start a new walk, get off the path and have a God encounter, would you simply raise your hand where I can see it? Yes, I see that hand. I see another. Is there any more? There's several. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to pray for God to give you courage, because we've all been there. You get nervous. But this is what's going to happen. It happens every week. I'm going to pray. God's going to give you strength and courage. You're going to get out of your seat. You're going to come to the front. And this place is going to erupt in an ovation of praise. Not only for your courage, but for the God that's going to be the answer to the prayer that you're going to pray in just a few moments. So I'm going to pray. And while I pray, you receive that courage. Step out of your seat. Move right down here, and we're going to escort you right here to the front. And I promise you, this place will erupt in an ovation of applause to God. Father, right now, you know the hands. But Father, just like Moses had to step off of that, off of his normal path, and he had to move towards a new path. Father, right now, I ask for courage and strength. Let them have faith to believe right now that, Father, that you're going to meet in fellowship with them right now. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, so if you had your hand up, we're going to offer you an opportunity to come right now. Don't wait. Just come. Just tell the person next to you, get out of the way. Here comes one. Here's another. Here's three. Is there anybody else? Ask your neighbor. Tell them, say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. God may have them sitting right next to you for that purpose. Ask them, say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. Anybody else? They're going to begin to pray with them. They're going to lead them to Christ. We don't have to worry about that. But how many of you are already saved, but you thought, man, I'm going to be like this forever? I'm in a rut and I can't seem to get out of it. I need some hope. I need some strength. I need God to heal me. I need encouragement. I need something from God. I don't need more songs and I don't need another sermon, but I need the God they're singing about. You're already saved, but you need a God encounter that's going to change everything. How many of us can say, I need some of that, Pastor? I'm going to raise both hands. I need some of that. So we're going to pray one more time. Amy's going to begin to sing, and you can find yourself coming forward, meeting fellowship. You say, Pastor, why do I got to come up front? Because it will give you strength that when you're discouraged, when you walk out the door and the enemy whispers in your ear and say, it's going to be the same, you say, no, it would have been the same had I not met with a God. I had my own burning bush moment. And God supplied me with the strength that in my burning bush moment, we had a God encounter, and I believe He's going to be with me. Amen. Father, right now I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to make things different right now. That, Father, that as people step out and step forward, that it's not going to be the same as it's always been. Because, God, they're going to meet in fellowship with You. They're going to get off of a beaten path that maybe they're accustomed to. And that, Father, that they're going to receive who You are in a fresh new way, and You're going to go with them. They have nothing to fear because You will be with them. And I give You the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you're not going to participate in the prayer time, you can enjoy the worship time. But when you consider yourself dismissed, please use the back door. Okay? Please don't interrupt what's going on down here. Father, right now, we give You praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's put our hands together and give God an ovation of praise. And Amy can begin to lead us in worship.